Love Jesus and love people. Say that with me. Love Jesus and love people. That's what we're about at Fellowship Church. We say we love, say it with me, we say we love Jesus and we love people. And on purpose, I didn't say when we started the church, we love God. Of course we love God. That's a good thing. But if you don't love His Son, God has no part of you. You reject His Son. Oh, but I love you. Don't like your Son. What is up with that? You can't come to God except through Jesus. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but through me or but by me. Did Jesus say that? Flat out. Amen? So, the point is that loving Jesus is what it's about. But that's not the end of it. Loving people. Okay? Loving Jesus, loving people. So I've called this chapter 2, Loving Jesus, Loving People. Let's go, Raj. Push me if you would. That which we have seen, we looked at it last week. Which we have heard, we just started the book last week. Declare we unto you that you may have what? Fellowship with us, and truly our what? Fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So we covered some ground last week. I'm not going to make up all that ground last week again. John the Apostle also wrote the book of John, the Gospel of John, also wrote the book of Revelation. Of course, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. So here now, this man's old. This is 50 to 70 years after the resurrection of Christ. The church has taken off. But 50 to 70 years is a long time. Just think back in this country 50 to 70 years ago. Was this a different country? Of course it was. Totally, things were different. And things have changed here, but they were changing there. And John's saying, don't miss what I've experienced, that I'm going to forever experience. I saw Him, I knew Him. A relationship with Jesus is what you want. Fellowship with God the Father is what you want. That's what I have. Don't miss the what. Don't miss the joy that I have. Okay? And what had happened, there was a group of people that had got into the church for a long time. And it started being more about knowledge and about what you know and how much you know and not who you know. Okay? It was more about, ooh, I know this and I know this. And actually, I'm better than you. And that's what knowledge does. It can puff you up. Yes or no? Say. Okay? Like right now in this country, if you go to Harvard, somehow you're a genius. Not to me, you're not. Y'all listening, say. Okay, you can have all the books. Learn not to put down education. Believe it or not, I graduated from college, okay? All right? But the bottom line is, guys, listen, knowledge was never meant to puff us up. If we're going to get knowledge, I hope it helps us become better servants. Amen. Say. But nowadays, we got knowledge, oh, you're way up here. But that's the way it was in the church, in the early church. They had more knowledge, and they were higher than the Apostle John. I don't think so. Do you say? No way! And so this old man, he's fighting back in this book. They were saying Jesus didn't really appear bodily. Well, you take away the bodily appearance of Jesus in His life here on this earth and His resurrection, you've just screwed up all of salvation. Amen, say. It's crazy. So John says, I saw Him. I was there. He loved me and I loved Him and you people are crazy. That's what he's saying. The old man, he's fighting back. He said, I'm an eyewitness. You jokers weren't even there. You're trying to make up all this stuff. Y'all hearing me? Are y'all all right? You seem quiet today. You're all right though. John says he wants you to see Him and know Him just like I know Him. He wants you to know Him in a personal way, not up just up here, just with some head knowledge and just you can get all this, but you can never get this heart and this relationship with the Lord. And so let's keep moving with love Jesus, love people. We're going to open up now chapter 2 of the book of 1 John. Say that with me. This is what? Reality. Okay? What they were saying, these false teachers, was not reality. It's stuff they're making up. John says this is reality right here. Okay? My little children, one of my favorite verses. I got so many favorite verses in this book, it ain't even funny. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have a what? We have an advocate with the who? Father, Jesus, the righteous. Amen? So, my little children, when he says that, he's talking like a father would to a young child. My beloved. John's talking to Christians here. He's not talking to lost people. He's talking to the saved that are sort of getting screwed up. And the church is a little bit of a mess. And they're going down a wrong path because of crazy leadership. Y'all hear me? And so this is the apostle, and this old apostle who Jesus called his beloved disciple. Amen? Or that's how John wrote about himself. Anyway, when he wrote the book of John, he always called himself beloved. John always thought he was Jesus' favorite. Not necessarily that he was. But I think that's a good position all of us should have. Amen? That I'm his favorite. Elise tells me that. I'm Jesus' favorite. My daughter tells me that. Amen? My daughter tells me there's never anything, a desire that I've had that I've wanted, that God didn't make it happen. You know, so she thinks she's really special. Amen? And so now she thinks Dad's going to be just like God and give her everything. I tell her, go ask Jesus. Anyway, so, my beloved, he's writing that you sin not. What is he saying? That you sin not. Guys, the Bible teaches that we shouldn't sin from the beginning to the end. Okay? This is no new thing. Doesn't say that we're going to always be successful at it. Amen. We have the flesh. There's a battle going on. The Apostle Paul faced that battle. Many faced that battle. Peter faced that battle. A lot of people face the battle of sin. I face that battle. But what do you do in the case when you do sin? What does it mean that you sin not? This little phrase means don't run into your own ruin. Here's sin, and I want to do it, but if we could see it as, oh my God, I'm running into a burning building and there's nobody there but me. Well, that was stupid. That's the idea. Don't run into your own ruin. That's what he's saying here. Keep butchering me. Don't multiply your own what? That's what he's saying. That you sin not. We need to see sin as that it's, oh my gosh. Yeah, it's fun, but wow, it's going to kill me. It's going to make me sick. This is not right. Amen. And I struggle, just like many of you struggle. Keep looking. So, he's writing, guys, that you sin not. Okay? But, I love this, and if any man what? But if we do sin, I appreciate you telling me not to, but help me, because I'm hurting and I'm struggling. Amen? So what happens? And this is reality, guys. The reality is that I do sin. The reality is that you do sin. Yes or no? Say. That's reality. And we can deal with, yeah, but I've got the knowledge, man. It's up here. I'm superior. No, you're not. You're full of pride. Is that a sin? Yes or no? Yeah. All kinds of sin out there, baby. So what happens when we do sin? Because we do. I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Say that with me. I have a what? Advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Some other scripture. Jesus died for our sins. He arose for our justification. That's what this means. I have an advocate. Jesus died for that sin. Jesus arose for my justification. I have an advocate with the Father. And Jesus Christ does what for us? He what? He intercedes for us. Amen. There's one God and one mediator between God and man. The man who? Christ Jesus. Not Gary the preacher. Not the priest down the street. Not the Pope. Excuse me. Yes or no? It's one God and one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ intercedes for us. Hey guys, it's awesome that we pray for other people. It's awesome that other people get us to pray for them. But at the end of the day, you know who you want praying for you? Jesus. I want Him interceding for me. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, Jesus talking, seeing that Jesus ever lives to make what for us? Intercession for us. Amen? That's what the Bible teaches. So, when I sin, say this with me, when I sin, I have, say it with me, I have immediate recourse to God through who? Yeah, but I don't know about that Jesus stuff and knowing Jesus. You know, I don't really need to know Jesus, do I? It ain't good enough that I'm just a good person. Well, the problem is that you don't have immediate recourse. And you've not dealt with the sin problem. Amen? See, I need to know Jesus because He's the way, the truth, and the life. I need to know Jesus because He's the only one that satisfied the payment for my life. Okay? That's why I say there's only one way. There's a bunch of ways to hell. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus. Amen? So we have immediate recourse. Guys, live like that. This is reality. You mean when I sin, I have immediate recourse? Absolutely. Live in reality. Y'all hearing me or not? Man, that should make you love Jesus. Amen. Say,
I don't know about you people loving Jesus. It's a little spooky feeling.
Well, it's because we've made it that. We've made flopping like a chicken more important, than running to Jesus for your sin. Y'all hear me, yes or no? That ought to get you flopping like a chicken. When you think you have a Savior that loves you so much, that gave Himself, for you mean that I can just absolutely screw up and you love me still? Absolutely, I love you still. That's crazy love, ain't it? Come on. Verse 2. And He's the propitiation, I love that word, big fancy word, for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the what? Whole world. He is the propitiation. He's the atoning sacrifice. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin. That's what that fancy word propitiation means. He is the sacrifice, but He's not just any sacrifice. He's the atoning sacrifice for all of our sins. That's who Jesus is. Do you love Him for that? This verse is also in 1 John 4:10, a verse that's similar. Herein is love, not that we what? Loved God, but that He what? Loved us and sent His Son to be the what? Propitiation. God loved us so much, not that we loved Him. No. He loved us so much that He sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for all of our sin. But I can't. I'm a sinner. I can't. Well, what are you talking about? No, you can't. He can. Okay? And He has. Put your faith in Him. Don't keep wallowing in the crap. Excuse me. When you have a way out, and His name is Jesus. Y'all hear me? Yes or no? You have immediate recourse. Jesus didn't die just for the Jewish people or the apostles that walked with Him. He died for who? All of us. That's what that verse teaches, man. He died for all of us. You do matter to God. Say, I matter. I have value. That's who you are. You matter to God. He gave His Son for you. Wow, but we walk around so defeated. We don't have to. Y'all hearing me? I'm still worried that you're sleeping. Okay, all right. Because of Jesus Christ, regardless of my awful sin, mercy can be found and there's still hope, all because of who? Can we praise Him? Come on, that'll help me this morning. Come on. Praise You, Lord. And we should be jumping up and down over this stuff. Amen. Come on. Guys, and by the way, this isn't just Clark preaching. This is reality. That He loves me like this, that I can get forgiveness like this, that He wants to forgive me. He ever lives. That's why He's living right now. He's right there waiting to forgive you. Immediate recourse. This is reality. Listen to the old apostle who knew Him, who spent time with Him, who saw the love of Jesus like nobody really could. He's trying to talk to you today. So how do I know that I love Jesus? You might say, okay, I get it. So I'm supposed to love Him because He forgave my sin and He's my advocate and He's right there. And that, you know, that should really help you right there to love Jesus. So how do I know that I love Jesus? How can I tangibly know that I love Jesus? And hereby, we do know that we know Him if we keep His what? And that word is the word know is an intimate word. We know Him intimately. We would say that of someone that we love, yes or no? They're not a casual acquaintance or somebody that I love intimately or deeply. I know them that way. Hereby do we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments is a what? Help me. This is the old... He's a pretty nice fellow, but he ain't being right nice right now. He's a what? There was a lot of people running around that knew a lot. Oh, I know Jesus. I know Jesus. He didn't really live. He was only a spirit or a ghost. He didn't really live. I know Him. John says, you don't know Him from Adam's house, cat. All right? You know the real Jesus relationally. He's alive and He's alive forevermore. And He's seated right there making intercession for us. He ain't just up in your head somewhere. Keep that in mind. You're a liar and the truth ain't in you. But whoso keeps His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected or matured or growing. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself so also to walk even as Jesus walked. You hear me? This is how you know. Now listen, if you just constantly are sinning,
and you don't have that relationship with Christ where you're confessing and you just continue breaking His commandments, I don't blame you. I wouldn't sleep easy tonight as well either. You hear me say? Did y'all hear that or not? We're talking about, how do you know that you know Him? Keep His commandments. Obviously, don't skip over the first thing. Know Him. Know that He's forgiven your sin. Know that you can go to Him for your sin. Don't jump over that to, I got to keep the commandments to get to heaven. You can't keep the commandments to get to heaven. You keep it. You, over here is where He saved you. He saved you from your sins. He's making intercession for you. But He wants you to live for Him. Yes or no? And you're going to be a wreck, and you're going to be a mess, and you're going to get screwed up, and you're going to make decisions. And I've talked to people that make dumb decisions, and somehow, yeah, but it's the will of God. You are the dumbest thing ever. It's stupid. Amen. Come on. So, keeping His commandments, living for Him is the what? Say it with me. It's the what? Fullest proof. Now, this is my words. You might not believe it, but I believe it. This is the fullest proof that you're truly saved. Yeah, but I sang a song on Sunday. I put some money in the offering plate. How are you living? Say. Do you have a conscience when you're doing something wrong? You don't have the peace of God? Say. Do you struggle? You understand? Is it a delight to you to do right? Do you want to do right? Do you want to do the right thing by God? Yes or no? What I'm trying to say is, this is one of the fullest proofs that we have, that we are in Him. It's not what gets us saved. No, that's the blood. That's He died for us. But guys, you're saved, but don't you want to have power in your life? And don't you want to live for the Lord and make a difference? That's keeping His commands. To see my bad passions and unholy habits as God sees them, and then turn from them through the power of the Holy Spirit, is the greatest assurance that I know Him and that I love Him. Say that with me, even if we don't get through the message. We have to get this down. Come on. To see my bad passions, help me, and unholy habits as God sees them, and then turn from them through the power, not your power, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is the greatest assurance that I know Him and that I what? Love Him. Boy, if we could unpeel the onion in each of us in this room, it'd burn your eyes, wouldn't it? Say. But to be open like that with Him and say, God, the Holy Spirit, work in my life and help me. And to see yourself having victory day by day, moment by moment, day by day. And then when you do sin, you have an advocate. Don't forget that. Amen. Say. And to see you growing in the Lord is the greatest assurance that you'll ever have that you're His. And hell can't shake that. Yes or no? Okay, come on. Jesus said in the book of John, John recorded when He's with His disciples, Jesus talking to His disciples, if you love me, keep my what? Commandments. I'll pray the Father come, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither does it what? Know Him, that intimate relationship. But you know Him, for He dwells in you, and He shall be in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Are y'all seeing that or no? Yeah, you don't keep the commandments. I can't keep the commandments to get to heaven. I never said you could. But keeping the commandments, it's a way that you show Jesus you love Him. What do you think He needs out of you? Your money? Your whatever? No. He wants you to be salt and light in this world. How can we be salt and light when we're not salt and light? This is the way we show Him that we love Him. He that loves me shall be loved of my who? Father. You think God loves you for loving His Son? You think that makes His heart just swell? Absolutely. Like Mitch and Joel sang last week, this one's with me, part of the family. Amen? Beautiful. And I'll love Him, Jesus says, and I'm going to do what to Him? I'm going to manifest myself to Him in His life and her life. Now, to boast of religious knowledge, this is what was happening in the book of 1 John in that early church. It had been 50, 60, 70 years later.
since the resurrection. To boast of religious knowledge and yet to live under the power of sin is the greatest offense to the what? We know what it feels like. We've done it ourselves. We've had other people do it, wanting to tell us about Jesus, but we know them. And they're not a good witness, and they may as well go talk to the wall because I ain't talking to them. When I was lost. You remember that, yes or no? And that's what the world's saying today. The church, you're no better than us. No, we're not any better than them, if we're honest. Amen? They need to hear that message that Christ loves them, that He forgives. Amen? That I'm a sinner too, that I struggle, but He forgives me. That's the message. Amen? And this was the pattern of my life. This is what I was. No, I'm not better than you. He's helping me with sin in my life. That would be an awesome message to get out there to our world. He's helping me. I think it's fine to open up about your sin. Personally, I do. You hear me here all the time talk about it. Talk to people. I don't think it's a problem. I think people need to be able to relate to you. Amen? Say. And open up and talk about the struggles in your life. But wait a minute. Here's how Jesus has helped me. No, I ain't arrived yet, but I'm getting there. Y'all hear me or not? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new what? The word is creation. I'm a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new or becoming new. This life is a life we're living. But my past has been wiped away. My sins are forgiven. I'm a new creature. I've got a new beginning. Keep His commandments. What shall we say then? Paul writing, shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Yeah, I believe in the grace of God. It all covered me, man. I'm good. That's not right. Amen. Say, shall we continue in sin that grace can abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now that we're dead to sin, how that Christ has come in our life. Man, it's going to be, shouldn't be comfortable for us. Yes or no? Come on. Now, guys, this is reality if you want to accept it or not. So, do you know Jesus and do you love Jesus is the question. Do you know Jesus and do you love Jesus? Is it more than just knowledge? Well, I go to church. I've been going since, I've heard this so many times. I've been going since that little kid. Do you know Jesus today on Sunday or not? Say. Can we come to reality, to earth right now? Hello. If you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven today? Say, do you know Christ? Nail it, man. Is your relationship with Jesus Christ a reality? It is for me. You know why? Because I was there when it happened. Being saved ought not sneak up on you. Ooh, saved. You ought to know you're saved because you're there when it happened. I received Christ personally. He's my Lord and my Savior. I know Him. And over the years, I've gotten to know Him better and better and better through His Word and through people encouraging me and helping me live for Him. Amen? And certainly the Holy Spirit, number one. So, love Jesus. We're going to go pretty quick, Raj. Love people. Brethren, I write no new commandment, verse 7 through 11. I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you've heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you've heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment. It sounds like the old man's getting, he's been smoking or drinking. Because it sounds a little weird through here. Excuse me. Again, a new commandment I write on you. I thought I said it was an old one. I did, but it's a new one. It's a new one. I thought I said it was an old one. It's tough. You just got to stay with me. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past, the true light now shines. He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother, uh-oh. He that says he's in the light, safe from sin, keeping the commandments, but you hate your brother, is what? In what? Darkness even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not where he's going, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Do you see why I call this section love people? We love Jesus, but we're going to hate our brother? Is that what we're going to do? Are we seriously going to try to get by with that? Say, oh, how I love Jesus, but I hate you. That song ain't singing. You can say, you can quote me on this, I'm going to be famous, even though this one won't get me famous probably. You can say you know Jesus till the cows come home, but love is real and hate is real. Love is of God and hate's of the devil. Say what you want, but if you hate people, you don't know Jesus and you don't love Jesus. Who said that? I did. You can quote me, okay? You know what I love about my daughter? I love my son too, but she's getting play today, isn't she? She says, Dad, when Jesus told us to love people, he didn't stutter. In the church today, in especially in conservative Christianity, which I am definitely conservative, we have certain groups we think it's okay to hate. That's bull. Did you hear me say? Yeah, but it said brother. Listen to me. Hates of the devil. Now, we're to hate sin. Amen. Say. But how about start hating the sin in your own life, like verse 1 said? Amen. Say. If we start doing that, see our sin and see that we have an advocate and we live for him and walk with him, I'm going to tell you what, a natural byproduct of that, when we see our own sin and how we're getting stronger in the Lord, it should not get something that makes us puffed up in our head. It should make us love people even more. Amen. Say. Because if you loved a dirty old dog like me, Lord, wow, wow. And yeah, I can see how I'm doing better. Wow, this whole world, this is a great thing. We need to get the gospel out there. Amen. Say, that's the plan. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Back in John, Jesus speaking. Love one another as I've loved you. That's the standard. That you also love. Did Jesus love sinners? Yes or no? Was he criticized for loving sinners? Did he hang out with sinners? Absolutely. They used it as one of the main things to kill him for. I mean, they hated him for doing that. By this shall all men know that you're my what? If you love one another like I love people. Well, how did you love them? Well, I loved all people. I loved the religious. I loved those that weren't religious. I loved those that had to act pretty much together. I loved those that their act was not together at all. That's how we should. That's how the world's going to know, wait, you're loving like he loved. Yes or no? That's how we're to be, guys. Love people. I write unto you little children. So we need to love people. Got that? Now we're going to continue on. Now you talk about sort of confusing a little bit. This is a little bit confusing. Stay with me. You probably feel totally confused even with me helping you, don't you? You probably thought you were better off before you came. You're not. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. Can we thank the Lord for that? Come on. Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. For his name's sake, not for your name's sake. He didn't forgive your sins because of you. Because of something you did. He did it for Jesus' sake. Amen. I write unto you now, so little children, because your sins are forgiven. Now watch this. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that's from the beginning. Keep watching. I write unto you young men. So we've seen children, fathers, young men. I write unto you young men because you've overcome the wicked one. Now watch. He's going back around the horn again. John, you okay? Here he goes. I write unto you little children. He started up there with them. Now he's back here with them again. Because you've known the Father. Keep going. He's going around that horn again. I write unto you fathers because you've known him that's from the beginning. I've written unto you young men because you're what? Strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. What are you doing, John? I'm lost. Children, fathers, young men. I thought it was children, young men, then fathers in life. Is that the way it goes or not? Why is it children's father and then young men? Well, I thought about it. Not that I've got all the answers. Pop it up. Children, fathers, young men. That's his order. Children, you're saved. You know him. Your sins are now forgiven. Remember what it was like when you got saved? Christ forgave your sins. You felt like a little kid. Didn't know a whole lot, did you say? But it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? My sins are forgiven. But then he jumps to fathers. Keep looking. So your sins are forgiven. You know the Lord. Then he jumps to fathers. So children are saved. Now here's fathers are what? Say the word with me. Solid. Solid. Stay with my thinking. Hang on here with me.
John says, you know him that's from the beginning. You're solid. You're solid. You're solid in your faith. You've known him for a long time. And now, thank you. You got young men. So you got children saved. You got fathers that are solid. And then you've got young men standing firm. Young men. When I think of young men, I see them on the football field, Coach. We'd like to be like them, wouldn't we, Coach? Have that strength again. I can't run a lap hardly, can you? Coach Smiley and I are real good at getting run over. As you get older in life, that's what we can do. Coach Smiley got plowed last year. Some player, whammo, knocked you silly, didn't he? A couple of years ago, I was at a playoff game over in somewhere on the other coast. I forget where we were. But we're playing by Fort Pierce. And these guys were like professional football players. They were huge. And we were hanging in there with them. And then all of them came this way towards me like a herd of buffalo. And they just absolutely plowed me. And all you can see is me doing this. Amen. They wouldn't have done that, Coach, when we were younger, would they, buddy? The point is, young men, you've overcome the wicked one. You're strong. The Word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. What does this all mean, Clark? Here's my take on it. It sort of reminds me of Isaiah. I hope I don't lose you with this because it's a little confusing. It reminds me of Isaiah 40. Here's a person that gets saved, they're like a child, and then people become solid in their faith. But I'm going to tell you something. When you become solid in your faith, it's like you're a young man again. Follow me again. When you get saved, and then you get solid in your faith, and it's that solid in your faith that allows you to be like a young man again. Did you hear me or not? I'm old, but I'm still young. I'm young in this spirit. I can still fight the devil, and I got more strength because the more solid I get, the more like a young man I am. Did y'all hear me? Yes or no? Amen? That's what, to me, that I got out of this. Isaiah says, have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases what? That's what I see, John. Here's the old man of all people. I can see this old man. He's writing this letter like a young man. Amen? Getting strong. But look at this verse. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But watch this. Say it with me. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their what? Strength. That's to me, that old, the father, the older, the, you know, not necessarily older, but when you're solid, you're mounting up. Strength renewed. Mount up with wings as eagles. Running and not being weary. Walking and not fainting. Did I lose you on all that? Maybe. A little odd way to walk through that. And you can look at it and you get different opinions. But this is me talking. When I love Jesus and I love people, I'm like a young man even though I'm old. Say that with me. When I love Jesus and I love people, I'm like a young man even though I'm old. You want something to renew the vigor inside of your heart? Love Jesus Christ. You want to be young again? Love people. Love Jesus and love people. And a passion can be birthed inside of you that you thought you couldn't have at your age. You start seeing the world differently. And a life comes inside of you. Did you hear me? Keep going. Loving Jesus and loving people renews my what? Loving Jesus and hating people don't do squat for me. It'll make you old and cranky. And that's what you see here a lot in this town. I love this town. But you see a lot of people that don't love Jesus. And guess what? You come to the end of your life and that's what you get. Here's at the end of your life. If you don't know the Lord and you're not loving people, I'm going to tell you something right now. It's going to be a miserable last many years of your life. Yes or no? So you gripe at them and complain at them and bark at them instead of loving on them. And see, when you love on somebody instead of being a complainer, you might see a light come back from them to you, and all of a sudden you're feeling young. Cool or not? He's driving me crazy. I hear you. Love Jesus, love people. Love not, oh, my clock's killing me. Love not the world. What is it saying? It's terrible. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Love Jesus, love people. Don't love the world, the things that are in the world. The love of the Father's not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, don't love that. The lust of the eyes, don't love that. The pride of life, don't love that. That's not of the Father, but that's of the world. The world's going to pass away. What are you thinking? Love Jesus. He's not going to pass away. Love people. They're not going to pass away.
Love what really matters. The world's going to pass away. The lust is going to pass away. But he that does the will of God's going to abide what? Are you hearing John talk? I can love the world and the things of this world, or I can love Jesus and I can love people. It's a choice we have. Okay? That's a great thing. Yeah, yeah. Good, good, good. Amen. I can submit to the lust of the flesh, to the lust of my eyes, to my selfish pride, or I can submit to Jesus and to love Jesus and to love people. It is a choice that we have, guys. That's what he's saying. To me, I'm crucified with Christ, Galatians. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Y'all getting it? I know this is a lot. Keep looking, Raj. At the end of the day, loving Jesus and loving people is what really matters and what really lasts. Okay? So that's what we've been talking about, loving Jesus, loving people. I'm going to finish reading so we can say we read this chapter. Not going to preach it. Keep it in context of what we talked about. Little children, it's the last time, so the last days, the old apostle writing. As you have heard that Antichrist shall come. And now there are many antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. They went out from us. These people full of knowledge, denying Jesus now. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us at all. John saying, don't be discouraged that these jokers are trying to screw up everything, because now it's clear as crystal and we know who they are. But you have an unction from the Holy Spirit, the Holy One, and you know all things. I've not written unto you because you don't know the truth. I've written unto you because you know the truth. There ain't no lie in the truth. There ain't no lie in anything I said. Who's a liar but he that denies Jesus is the Christ? The liar is those jokers that say Jesus didn't live. Y'all listening or not? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whoso denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. You ought to know that about religion. You ought to never forget that verse. He that denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. But they're nice people. I didn't say they weren't nice. I just said they don't know Jesus and they don't know God. Amen? That's what the Bible says. He that acknowledges the Son hath the Father. And that's not putting him in a book somewhere, just a name here, but knowing him personally, intimately. Let that therefore abide in you, which you've heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. You don't want to get sideways, you better stay with this. You also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised unto us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. That's exactly what they've been doing. These teachers that are telling you they know more than you, and they're just subverting the faith. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you. Yeah, but they know so much. They're idiots. Stay with the gospel. Are y'all hearing me today? Come on. That's what he's saying here. Come on. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and it is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. The old man's strong. And now, little children, here he goes. Abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be what? Ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he's righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. You know what I'm telling you is right. The old man says, remember it. Let's praise the Lord for his word. Amen. Come on. Woo! We made it. Whoa!